According to research, up to 20% of women globally have PCOS, or polycystic ovarian syndrome. If you are a woman with PCOS, then listening to this podcast, you are not alone. PCOS is a syndrome, meaning a cluster of symptoms caused by excessive testosterone in the female body. But where does all this testosterone come from? Why do some women have it and others don't? And what can you do about it? In today's episode, we're going to be talking about all this and more, including why being diagnosed with PCOS isn't a life sentence, two types of PCOS, and how to support your PCOS beyond what your doctor tells you. If you've been dealing with PCOS and no amount of diet change, exercise, or lifestyle changes have helped you, you won't want to miss this episode. Hey friend, welcome to the Better Belly Podcast. If you're currently trying endless supplements, doctor visits, and diet changes to heal your mystery symptoms, you are in the right place. We're here to solve the real root causes behind your gut, hormones, skin, sleep, and brain concerns, literally anything and everything in your body. My name is Allison Jordan. I'm a functional medicine practitioner that has supported over 150 clients just like you to heal problems that no one has been able to fix. You don't need a perfect diet or a random supplement you found on Instagram to heal. You need a proven system that heals your whole body from the inside out. That's what I'm here to share with you, episode by episode. It's time to make health easy again. And just as a reminder, this information is not meant to diagnose, manage, or treat disease. Always consult with your own health practitioner before you make any changes to your health. All right, guys, before we jump into today's episode, I just want to announce again about our giveaway that we are doing right now here in the month of May. This giveaway includes a $200 off code to join our program, the Better Belly Blueprint, where you can heal your gut so you can poop daily, ditch acid reflux, and balance your hormones finally and for good, even if nothing else you have tried before has worked. Actually, especially if nothing else you have tried has worked thus far. We specialize in helping you find exactly what's causing your gut and hormone problems. So to join, all you have to do is leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify between now and May 29th. Take a screenshot of that rating and review and then go to betterbellytherapies.com/giveaway and submit the form. It's going to include things like your name, your email, so we know where to send your $200 code, and a screenshot of your rating and review. You're going to automatically receive that email for $200 off the program, so you can join ASAP as soon as you want. And then the full scholarship winner is going to be announced on May 30th and messaged by email. As of the release of this podcast episode, you have about 2 weeks left to leave that rating and review and get $200 off so that you can potentially get a full ride scholarship and definitely get $200 off of our program, the Better Belly Blueprint. So go, and if you want really easy links, go to the show notes, and we have a link to Apple Podcasts, we have a link to Spotify, we have a link to our giveaway form, or go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave that rating and review, or just go to betterbellytherapies.com/giveaway and submit that form today. Okay, but now jumping back into the topic for today, PCOS. I'm so excited. This episode concludes the hormone series, healthy hormone series that we've been doing, all looking at periods, perimenopause, pregnancy, and postpartum, and now PCOS. And coincidentally, a lot of these things, pretty much all of them, have P's in it. So I'm like, why has no one noticed this before? Okay, I could call it the P series on hormones. But today, we're going to jump off with just talking about where does testosterone come from in the female body, not just with someone with PCOS, with anybody who is listening, even if you don't know if you have it or you know you definitely don't have it. So for women, the majority of testosterone is made, pop quiz, where's the majority of testosterone made for women? Drum roll. Okay. 75%. 75% is made in the adrenal glands. Now, for those of you who want to get technical, 25% is actually made in the adrenal glands themselves, but 50% of testosterone is made from a conversion of a hormone called DHEA. And this hormone is also made from the adrenal glands. So you're getting some DHEA pumped out. that's then being converted by other tissues in the body to testosterone. And then you've got some actual testosterone coming out of the adrenal glands. But together, that's 75% of the total testosterone in a female body. Then the last 25% is made by your ovaries. So when you have too much testosterone in PCOS, it means that one of these two organs, or possibly both, are pumping out too much testosterone. So this is where you get the two types of PCOS that I mentioned here. And as I talk about these two types of PCOS, I'm actually going to share about these types from the perspective of my favorite PCOS story from my clinic, which is Jessica. You can actually hear Jessica talk about her story in episode 67 of this podcast, which I'm going to put down in the show notes as a link. It's titled Endometriosis, Brain Fog, Eczema, Fatigue, Irritability, and Insomnia. How to Fix It All 40% or more in 3 months. And that was Jessica's testimonial. We worked together for 6 months, and literally in 3 months, she had such a dramatic improvement. She's like, let's just share this story. And she had PCOS, she had endometriosis, she had even more than that, brain fog, eczema, fatigue. And her story, just as like a little hook here, is that she had already been on the keto diet and doing weightlifting and doing all the things that kind of generic PCOS support wisdom tells you to do. And she was not feeling better. She actually had improved for a couple years, but then weirdly the keto diet and exercising stopped working. And so she was gaining weight and she was having a lot of pelvic pain and things were just getting worse really suddenly. So it's a super interesting story, and it actually fits really well into the concept of these two types of PCOS. You guys ready? Okay. Two types of PCOS. Number one is going to be insulin resistance. So this means that your body has blood sugar, sugar in the blood, and your body's trying to send out insulin from your pancreas and tell your cells to uptake the sugar into your cells. And if your body doesn't do that, then the blood sugar in your blood keeps rising, and your pancreas sends out more and more and more insulin. And unfortunately, what happens when there's PCOS, because you can have diabetes and not have PCOS. What I just described is diabetes type 2, where you develop insulin resistance, or it's at least the precursor to a diabetes type 2, where your cells are basically numb. They can't hear insulin. And this can happen for a variety of reasons, and it can even be improved or reversed to a certain extent. But for whatever reason, your cells can't hear the insulin, and it causes this like competition of like higher blood sugar, higher insulin levels, higher blood sugar, higher insulin levels. And insulin, when you have PCOS, will also tell your ovaries, specifically your ovaries, to make more testosterone. Now, when you first get a diagnosis of your PCOS, most doctors are not talking in terms of like you have type 1. There's not even a type 1. This is like not a diagnostic thing that doctors are using, but it is a way to guide you in how to get the best results to manage your PCOS so that you can actually bring your testosterone down. So if you have an insulin resistant type of PCOS, it's going to respond really well to lifestyle modifications, such as eating fewer carbs, because carbs is going to be where you're getting sugar. And carbs can be a potato, it can be straight up candy, it can be a piece of fruit, it could be a piece of bread, but it's just something that has starches in it. And it could be a super simple sugar, or it could be, still could be natural, like whole food, but still, if it has sugar in it, that can still spike your blood sugar. And if you're insulin resistant, that's still bad. So if you eat a low carb diet, meaning you're focusing more on fat and carbs, it might be the keto diet, it might just be a low carb diet where keto tends to be like you're really trying to have almost like very, very low, almost 0 grams of carbs. But so low carb or keto diet, that can really help somebody who has an insulin resistant type of PCOS, because you're not introducing blood sugar or sugar into the blood, then you're not getting this competition of sugar getting higher and insulin getting higher. That's not happening. You're still resistant to the insulin, but you're not getting this competition situation. So then the ovaries aren't getting stimulated by the excess insulin to create testosterone. And then when you have when you're exercising regularly, that activation of the muscle helps you to process glucose. So, and this is actually especially true with weightlifting, so that you can also keep your blood sugar levels at a really normalized place. So exercise, especially weightlifting and a low carb diet are two, it's not like the only thing, like just like a little fix for every type of PCOS, but it can help a huge majority of women when they're thinking about trying to manage or reduce the amount of symptoms they have of their PCOS. And that's going to be the weight gain, thinning hair, greasy skin, and androgenic, so like facial hair or body hair that is more masculine or male. A lot of mood stuff can happen when there's too much testosterone in a female body, anger, irritability, depression. So those things can really lower a lot when the PCOS is managed. When my client Jessica came to me, she had a history of actually managing her PCOS by just doing the insulin resistant type of recommendations that there are out there. She was eating keto and she was exercising, and that had worked for her for many years. But about, I think it was like 6 to 9 months before meeting me, those things had stopped working. And she was really discouraged to the point that she's like, why am I eating a keto diet if I still feel horrible? And she'd even gone off it, like, maybe this isn't working anymore. And she didn't know why. And that you can imagine, if you're in that boat, or you've had things in your life where you did exactly what the doctor said to do, or what the blog said to do, or what the expert said to do, and then it doesn't work, or it works for a little while and then it stops, you're like, what else do I have? And so that brings us to type 2 PCOS. Type 2 PCOS is adrenal PCOS, meaning that your adrenal glands are responding to some sort of stress in your body, and then it's creating too much testosterone, remember that 25%, and too much DHEA that gets converted into testosterone. And I actually see this all the time. You can see it in a Dutch test, which is the main hormone test that I rely on. It's a urine-based test that we do in home. And you can see on one page of the Dutch test cortisol levels, and on the second page you can see testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone. And this is not diagnosing, but sometimes people come in and they know they have PCOS, and their PCOS is usually flaring up when they come to see me. It's not doing so well. They're struggling with infertility or some of the other symptoms I mentioned before this. And I will look at their adrenal gland page, and if they have really high creation of DHEA, we can actually see that, or really high cortisol levels, or both, and then they also have high testosterone, then this adrenal type of PCOS is at least a component. It might not be everything, but it's at least a component of what's going on. So the adrenal glands are going to produce more of the DHEA and testosterone if they're also being upregulated by other sources of stress, because the adrenal glands are saying, okay, she's stressed, let's just overcreate all of our hormones. And it'll do that across the board with all the hormones, like aldosterone, which regulates sodium and potassium in the blood. That's a side note. So the adrenal glands are responding to stress. The new question becomes, what are the sources of stress for me? And I want to be very clear, and hopefully this is hope bringing to people. When I say stress, I don't mean like, you're too stressed in your job, you're too stressed in life. We're all stressed. Like, nobody has a perfect life, right? We're going to have stressors like, oh, I want to try and find a spouse. Oh, I want to do really well on this exam. It's not all bad that we have stress. However, what happens is when the stress is chronic and often unaddressed, like it's just rampant. And there's three types of stress, y'all. Three types. One is psychological, which I just kind of covered. It's the one people typically think of when they think of stress. The second is physical. So physical is going to be running a marathon, giving birth, being pregnant, getting in a car accident, having a surgery, breaking your leg, anything that physically happens to your body, having a concussion. They all cause a stress response in the body. So that can be another type of stress. And then the last one is biochemical. Biochemical is food sensitivities, low digestive enzyme, congested detox pathways, hidden pathogens that no one's dealing with. And this is the category that I find is consistently plaguing my clients the most. especially because they're not being well addressed by doctors, and they're definitely not going to be addressed by counselors. So maybe you're getting counseling because you're like, I know I'm stressed, like psychologically. I've had childhood stuff happen to me. I have trauma. I have had a rough couple of years. I lost a loved one, whatever, you know, maybe you know that. And then people also can know like physically stuff's been going on. So they've been seeing a physical therapist or a chiropractor or getting massages or stretching or trying to work out. Like, you try to take care of yourself physically, but biochemically, it's where people, like, things just fall through the cracks really hardcore. And this was what was happening with Jessica and why her support of the insulin resistance was no longer working. And her doctors couldn't see, they didn't have any of the right tools or labs to see what was causing this stress inside of her body, mostly biochemical stress. Now, I want to make a note that there are two more categories of PCOS that I saw floating around the internet, and I actually put them into this category of adrenal PCOS. And the subcategories are inflammation or inflammatory PCOS, where you have excess toxins, and then there's a subcategory, another category called hidden PCOS, which people tend to say are like deficiencies, like being deficient in iodine or zinc, having artificial sweeteners, which I was like, that's actually a toxin, or having some thyroid problems. I'm like, okay, that's a legit thing, but it's not inflammatory directly. It's hidden. But I actually ended up putting these under adrenal, because if you are deficient in zinc and iodine, that's going to cause stress on the body. Deficiencies are stressful inherently to the body. If you're taking in toxins, like artificial sweeteners or like other excess toxins, I'm actually going to dive into them. So give me a moment and I'll talk kind of about the big toxins. If you're taking in these excess toxins, though, that is stressful to the body based on the concept that there's three types of stress: physical, psychological, and that biochemical, including all the stressors. So the solution to adrenal PCOS is to get rid of sources of inflammation, to get rid of sources of stress. Yes, deal with physical stuff that's going on. That's why I am a huge proponent of craniosacral therapy and visceral manipulation, which I do in my practice. Does everybody need it? No. Is it going to cause a great effectiveness for everybody? No. But do some of my clients get drastic results even after, you know, chiropractic work hasn't helped them and PT hasn't helped them and all these things haven't helped? Does cranial and visceral actually help them? Yes. And I have a link in my show notes where you can actually, I teach you how to find a craniosacral therapist and visceral manipulation practitioner near you. And I highly recommend, don't just do the craniosacral therapy, which a lot of people have heard of before. Find someone who does visceral manipulation. This is a game changer. So I would prefer, if as a recommendation on my end, find someone who does visceral manipulation is more important than even just craniosacral therapy. But you're doing the physical and you're doing psychological support, and now you also want to do biochemical. So let's talk about the toxins. What are the toxins we're looking for? What are doctors typically missing? What counts as a toxin? I'm going to go through these pretty quickly because I have a lot of episodes in my podcast here, and I go in depth in them in my program on how to find them, what exactly to do about them, why these are inflammatory. And so I don't want to kind of clock up this episode, but I'm just going to go over them quickly so you have an idea of what I'm talking about. So detox pathways that are clogged or narrowed, so they're not functioning as well, like your liver, super important. And it's not just enough to do like a tea to help your liver. I had someone ask me about this. Can they just take a dandelion root tea and it helps their liver? Not enough. You really want to do a full liver detox. And I actually share my liver detox protocol for $7, and I put it in the show notes. Go to betterbellytherapies.com/liver. Because sometimes that's all people need, and it really mops up a lot of their toxin stuff. I'm like, don't do my entire program if all you need is the liver protocol. But if you do the liver protocol, if you get it, you do it, and like things sort of improve or don't improve dramatically, or they stop improving as soon as you stop the protocol, then you really do need the full Better Belly blueprint. So detox pathways, food sensitivities, because like you can be on a low carb diet and still be eating gluten, dairy, corn. I see a lot of like low carb or keto bread that still has wheat in it. And if you're sensitive to wheat, it's going to cause inflammation. And so your body's like, thanks for being keto, but this still is causing my adrenal glands to go crazy. Heavy metals. So I totally see clients with mercury, aluminum, cadmium, uranium in their body. That's super irritating. Not all my clients, but I do a test in my program called the HTMA. I get it for my clients at minimum 50% less than what other people sell it at. So wholesale pricing. And then I teach you how to analyze the lab and create your own personalized protocol based on what is inside that. And things like inflammatory fats, like canola oil, are also going to be thinking about hidden pathogens. This is super big. My client, Jessica, had a parasite, Endolimax nana, a parasite, y'all. And if she could be doing all the healthy things in the world, not eating gluten, not eating dairy, I don't remember exactly what was on her food sensitivity test, which we also do in my program. It's a blood test done straight to your home. Just prick your finger and you're good. If she didn't get rid of the parasite, that's going to dramatically reduce the effectiveness of her protocol. So you can see if you only do one portion of this, just the liver or just food sensitivities or eating keto, you might not get at the full picture of what's going on. And the only way to know the full picture of what's going on is to test it. And that's what I offer in my program, the Better Belly Blueprint. So you get out of this guessing and basically just like spinning your wheels and not really getting to what you personally need. And I teach you how to create a customized health plan, or I do it for you if you are in our Better Belly VIPs. But that's hidden pathogens, super huge for effectiveness. And the last one is mineral deficiencies. So, or mineral and vitamin deficiencies. Our HTMA test shows mineral deficiencies and imbalances and guides you in what minerals to start feeding your body so they can function again. If you don't have the right minerals, it's really hard for your cells to function properly. And so that can impact how well you manage insulin and thyroid hormone, all sorts of things. And that can then irritate your PCOS. So those are the two types. I hope that was that helpful? Was that like, I hope that made, I don't know, things make a little bit more sense. And maybe you can see like when you're thinking through what have you done to support your body? Have you done a lot of type 2 support, adrenal support, but not type 1? Have you done type 1, but not type 2? Have you addressed the biochemical side of your of getting rid of toxins in your body to help your adrenal glands? If not, maybe you've done some, but if you haven't done all the ones that I listed, join my program. I'll give you all the tools you need, teach you how to create a plan customized to you, and you can get healing, like dramatic healing in 3 to 6 months. That's what we say 80% of our clients going through, or not 80%, majority of our clients get 80% improvement in their top 5 symptoms in 3 to 6 months. Okay, I want to mention one more type of PCOS because some of y'all might be like, Allison, there's one more type. I like to call it a false type. It's called post-pill PCOS. So it's a temporary PCOS. It's not like you yourself have it in your cells or in your genes. And so I just don't include it because it's like, I don't see clients having problems getting off the pill and getting this kind of post-pill PCOS if they're supporting everything that I just talked about in the adrenal PCOS and insulin resistant type of PCOS. If you're detoxing, if you're not eating foods you're sensitive to, if you're not mineral or vitamin deficient, if you've gotten rid of the pathogens that you have, then there's no problems coming off the pill. And I have a lot of clients come in on the pill and they want to come off, but they're afraid to come off because they're like, if I go off the birth control pill, all my symptoms that I am like managing by taking the pill will come back. And I'm like, I totally get it. Don't come off the pill right now, but wait till you're 3 to 6 months into the program and your liver's cleaning up your body and your skin's detoxing beautifully and your symptoms are way down. And then they come off the birth control pill and it's like, it's like no big deal. Usually it's shocking to them because they're like, my symptoms didn't come back. That's crazy. But that's the way. So it's not really going to happen if you're really supporting your body well. I don't want to downplay it and say it's not going to happen, period. It could totally happen to you. And it doesn't mean it's not gnarly, but it's not like a lifetime thing. So I don't really include it in my two types. So Side note, I don't diagnose PCOS in my program, but if you do the Dutch test in it, you can see if you have excess testosterone or a testosterone imbalance. You can see if you have testosterone, like high cortisol levels or high DHEA levels, if that might be what's pouring into your testosterone. And you can even take that lab test and take it to your doctor and explore, do you have PCOS? If you like don't know, but you're suspicious, you could say, doctor, this test shows that I have high testosterone. Can we explore if I might have PCOS? And then you could get that diagnosed by your doctor. But what we do use the Dutch test for in our program is so that you can actually see where to make your improvements. And then you, if you do a retest, you can actually see like numbers go down. It's the most exciting thing possible. So if you are ready to join the blueprint, or you're like, I'm not really ready, but tell me more, go to betterbellytherapies.com/training. And it has a really quick free training in there that I show you the exact 3 steps I take my clients through to get these results, where you heal your gut so that you can poop daily, ditch acid reflux, and balance your hormones. Go to betterbellytherapies.com/training or click the link in the show notes. And if you enter that giveaway, you can get $200 off the program. And by the way, that's 20%. The program is $9.97. So if you get $200 off, it's $7.97. It's kind of a fun number. The giveaway is ending May 29th. So you have 2 more weeks to leave a rating and review and get that $200 off and be entered for that full ride scholarship to our Better Belly Blueprint program. So if you're like, I want that, join today. Go to betterbellytherapies.com/training, get the training, and then check our show notes for all the links to the giveaway. And I will catch you guys next week. Hey friend, I hope you loved this episode. If you've been a fan for a while or newly loving this podcast, can you do me a favor? Drop into Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. When you leave a review, you do so much. You help me know you're listening. You can tell me what you're loving so I know what to make more of. And you help others by boosting this podcast so other people like you can find the podcast too. I mean, it's a win-win-win, right? So if you want a way to pay it forward, just go to Apple Podcasts or click the link in my show notes and leave a rating and review. And if you want some more free stuff, just head over to my free Facebook group, betterbellytherapies.com/Facebook, and you can get access to all of my free support for you, including some Facebook group exclusive stuff like my podcast episode vault, where you can search the Better Belly podcast by topic and find exactly what you need to expedite your healing. I cannot wait to see you in there. Catch you guys next week.